Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more. Our friends at podswag.com have gotten an incredible promotion for you right now. When you purchase any of our glassware, such as pint glasses or La Greca pub glasses, you'll get 30% off. That's right, 30% off on all of our glassware, which is the lifeblood for all our daddy sodas and La Greca shit. So take advantage of this deal while you can, because supplies won't last. Once they're gone, they're gone. So the glassware that we have available at podswag.com/bustedopen, that's it. So when they're sold, you ain't going to see them again. So make sure you go to podswag.com/bustedopen. I am drinking currently out of my Busted Open Bully Ray glass.
Nice.
So I'm drinking out of that. So and then once the show is over, maybe even before the show is over, I have my Stone Cold Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA, and I'll be drinking that out of my La Greca Daddy Soda pub glass. Make sure you get them right now at podswag.com/bustedopen and get 30% off.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, myself, Bully Ray, and Mark Henry start talking about WrestleMania 39. We know what match is going to main event night number two, but what match is going to main event WrestleMania night number one, especially after what we saw on SmackDown this past Friday night? Also, we get into Bianca Belair and Asuka, a story we're not that into. What went wrong? We discuss. And also, we get into the reemergence of the house show. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Now, we know what the main event is going to be for night two of WrestleMania. Cody's already talked about it. He talked about it in his promo last Monday on Raw. Obviously, Roman and Cody are main eventing night number two. But I want to ask you guys, and I want to ask the Busted Open Nation, what match should main event night number one of WrestleMania? And I got to be honest, from me, guys, I automatically assumed that it was going to be one of the women's championship matches. I thought it would either be Bianca Belair and Asuka, or it was going to be Charlotte and Rhea. But after the last couple weeks and how things have played out, I think my mind's gone in a completely different way. And that is, I think it should be the tag match. Go ahead, Mark.
This is to you and Bully. Would it be disrespectful for the women's match championship matches to open both nights? And then you put the tag match between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against the Usos as the main event of the first night. Even though I think in my heart of hearts that the match that's going to steal WrestleMania is going to be Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew. I'm so damn excited to see that match that I feel like it's going to overshadow. The only thing that may not overshadow is the main event on WrestleMania's night two.
I'm going to take Dave's question first, and then I'll take your suggestion second. Here's the way I look at things right now, Dave. The story between Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and the Usos has earned the right to main event night one, in my opinion. It's such a strong story. And the last time we saw a tag team match, main event, a WrestleMania, was WrestleMania 1, Mr. T and Hulk Hogan versus Cowboy Bob Orton and Roddy Piper. I think it is time for a tag match to main event. And the tag team championships would be on the line. And we've never seen a tag team championship headline night one or night two. So story-wise, I believe that those four gentlemen have earned the right, or earned the right to be in the discussion of headlining night one. If I was Rhea or Charlotte, and you came to me with Mark's suggestion and said, you'll open up night one or night two, I'm all in, because I love being on first. Let me be Detroit Rock City all night long, because you are going to have the emotion. You are going to have the vibe in the room going on first. It will be there, especially if you're going to do a title change, especially if Rhea were to go over. People are going to be very excited about that. So that's where I stand right now on the situation. And I think a great thread for today's show to throw out to the nation is, what do they think should main event? Should the women main event night one because of the strength of their story right now?
No, but I think Mark's question's a good one too. Is it disrespectful to the women's roster or the women's championships if one of those matches is a main eventing night number one?
I don't know how it's disrespectful. To me, it's all about whatever.
Because some would say that, though, Bully.
Yes, some would say that.
People
if you
would
put
say
both
that.
Women's matches on first.
No. I'm sorry. I thought Dave said it's disrespectful for the one of the women's matches not to headline night.
No, that's what that's like, because that's what Mark. You know, but Mark, your question was different. I misheard your question. But
yeah, mine was different. Mine was, is it disrespectful to open both nights with the women's matches?
I personally
and
don't
not
think
have
so.
Them.
Personal opinion is no.
Me neither. But I guarantee you, this world we live in, they'll shit all over that idea that a women's championship match is not in one of the main events.
So let's take the two women's championship matches. If we had to give the main event spot of night one to one of these matches, Mark, are you giving it to Bianca and Asuka, or are you giving it to Charlotte and Rhea based on the stories being told?
Charlotte and Rhea.
Okay. Dave?
Charlotte and Rhea without a doubt.
Charlotte and Rhea for me also.
Yeah,
now.
Because wait, really quick, Bully, but it goes back to something that you just said, and that's story. There is no story between Bianca and Asuka. As a matter of fact, it's downright embarrassing. Like, if I'm Bianca Belair, I'm frustrated as all hell. Even though I'm the champion, you had me in a wonky story with Alexa Bliss leading up to the Royal Rumble, and people just were not into that match because of all the hocus pocus, and you're doing it again with Asuka. Like, Asuka is just like, to me, I can't see another example of them dropping the ball the way they've dropped the ball with Asuka. There's no story with Bianca Belair and Asuka right now.
Yeah, it's just two good wrestlers going at it.
I mean, the Asuka
and
story.
It'll work.
One of the other people that we haven't talked about in a while that I believe they are either dropping the ball with or is dropping the ball on their own is Karrion Kross and Scarlett. We don't even go down that road right now because we're keeping it to WrestleMania conversation. I think we all three of us agree that Rhea and Charlotte deserve the spot over Bianca and Asuka. But based on story being told, is it the tag match or the women's championship match that deserves to headline night one? I believe it's the men's tag match right now. Look at that hug. Look at that hug between Sammy and Kevin the other night. That place erupted for a hug. The emotional investment that everybody involved in this bloodline story that they've garnered is amazing, and it hasn't happened in the WWE in quite some time. So why not put it on last? What about Sammy, Kevin, and the Usos does not deserve to go on last, especially when all fingers would point in the direction of Sammy and Kevin going over? Hell of a way to end night one.
Well, and you're also including in this story, especially on SmackDown this past Friday, Cody, who's challenging for the world championship on night number two, is involved in this story between the Usos, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens. Now, that match has not been made official yet, but guys, we know that match is going to be made official. But I'm going to throw some other matches because I don't think – go ahead, Mark.
And it's linked to the bloodline.
Yes.
Like, the two major stories are both caught up in both of those matches. It just makes sense.
Well, I'm gonna throw some matches out, okay, that could be in contention, and I want to hear from the nation already. Phone lines are filled already, which is because this is such a great question. Like, here, one other match that we know is going to happen. It's the only match that we know definitively that's going to happen night number one, and that is Seth Rollins and Logan Paul. Some might look at that match as a possible main event night number one. Charlotte and Rhea Ripley, some would say that's a main event. Bianca and Asuka, some would say that's a main event. You know, Brock Lesnar and Omos. I mean, Brock Lesnar, that's one of the biggest stars in the company. I'm going to throw another one out there. Mark, you mentioned Gunther, McIntyre, and Sheamus for the Intercontinental Championship. That's going to be very hard to follow that one up. How about Austin Theory and John Cena, for crying out loud? We have the return of John Cena. That could be a potential match to be a main event night number one. I mean, there's how about the six-woman tag match? You have the return of Lita and Trish. I mean, there's a lot of options here that could main event night number one of WrestleMania.
I haven't heard one.
What do they mix with the meat and hot dogs? That's filler.
Okay. All right. Wow. Cena and Theory? Filler?
No, the six tag.
Oh, okay, the six-woman tag. Okay.
I don't think you can make a definitive case for any of the matches that you just brought up. You want to say John Cena versus Theory because it's for a championship and John Cena is involved? Okay, maybe you can get a couple of words in edgewise on that match. But there's only two matches right now. The women's match headlining night one, is it truly deserving of the main event spot right now based on the story? That's what I want to hear from the nation. That's what I, either this one or the tag match. And in a world, in a world that we live in of firsts, it'd be nice to advertise the first WrestleMania ever where a tag team match was main eventing. Why does any particular championship get a spotlight put on them, or any particular first time, like, okay, the first time the women are ever main eventing, or the first time this is ever main eventing, or all these firsts that we have? When do we get our first tag team championship main eventing a WrestleMania night?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it.
Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
We are full speed on the road to WrestleMania. This is Dave LaGreca, host of Busted Open, a SiriusXM podcast. Join me and the Busted Open team every day for the best pro wrestling talk on the planet. It's all leading up to WrestleMania in LA, where Busted Open will be coming to you live April 1st from the iconic Whiskey A Go-Go in Hollywood. To find out how you can join, stay tuned to Busted Open or on Twitter at Busted Open Radio. Download Busted Open every afternoon on the SXM app or wherever you get your podcasts. And guys, we're discussing about what match should main event night number one of WrestleMania. I agree with both of you. It's a shame what they've done with Bianca and Asuka. And Bully, you told me the last hour that like you really need the story. It can't just be about the championship. But you can make the championship a story. This has been a change for Asuka. This is a different Asuka than the Asuka we've seen before. She doesn't have to say anything. She could just point at that championship. Be serious. Be an Asuka that we haven't seen since the match that she had in New Orleans with Charlotte, where, you know what, she's not going to go out there screaming and yelling. She's not going to go out there dancing. She's only concerned about winning that Raw Women's Championship. And again, they're not playing to Bianca's strength. Bianca's a great athlete. And they're putting her in these storylines that are just like really off the grid. I think with Bianca and Asuka, you can make it about wrestling. You can make it about the championship. You can make it a little bit different. Look at Rhea and Charlotte. Their story is basically about, hey, Charlotte said it in her promo, I'm a star. Well, you know, the star should have championship gold around their waist. The star should be main eventing WrestleMania. And Rhea is saying, well, you know what? I want to be you. I want to be a star. So I know in order to do that, I got to capture that SmackDown Women's Championship. That's about being a star. With Raw, you can make it about being a wrestler, about being a champion, about taking it to the next level. Like you said, Mark, Asuka's story could be that, you know, she has been left behind. She's been off of TV. She hasn't been taken seriously. Well, now I'm going to be taken seriously because I'm going to win that Raw Women's Championship. It's better than what they've presented on Monday Night Raw for the last 3 months.
Dave, if you did the idea I was saying before the last break, do the cinematic cartoon animation where Asuka says she's going to take out all the competition until she's the only woman left. There will be nobody to face you. I will destroy everybody. They will be on crutches. They will be in the hospital. They will be at home. And it will only be me. Like, you have to be able to find something to make you give a damn. If I don't give a damn, that's where we are right now. There's nobody on this panel that loves Bianca more than I do. But I'm not excited for her match.
Mark, after thinking about your idea, I do really like your idea because it's different. And to put it in perspective, I think your idea would work with an AEW fan base. I do not think it gets over with a WWE audience. And I think the WWE wants their performers to do the speaking for themselves, if not have the manager do it for them. I think your idea is extremely creative. I could definitely see it working for Asuka, but I just don't think it flies over there. Thus, we're just getting Bianca versus Asuka. Here it is. We'll throw them on TV every week. What's going on with Asuka? She's crazy. Maybe all this crazy is leading to the debut of Kana, or the more over-the-top personality of Asuka, but we've been saying that for years, and we never get it. So it just is what it is. And that's it. And that's all it's going to be. It's not getting any bigger than it is right now. They're not going to pour any more gasoline on Asuka and Bianca. Just ain't happening.
Go ahead, Mark.
I don't think it's brand centric. I don't think it's an AEW, Impact, NXT, Raw, SmackDown thing. I think that it is a personal relationship thing. Asuka has not been allowed the chance to emotionally get in under somebody's skin or to enter people's hearts where you feel compassion for her. How about this story? How about you say Asuka has been looked over? That because she can't speak the language fluently, that the system is against her. And somebody comes in and goes, hey, they're whispering to Asuka all the time. And then that person is the one that gets Asuka to rise to the occasion. And yes, that person might be somebody that we've seen before. We always talk about giving the rub. Like, use somebody. They don't have to be Japanese. They just have to be a motivator, a coach, a mentor. And you start to feel a camaraderie between the two people. And you tell those stories. It's not rocket science. It's been done before. It's not an AEW or WWE thing. It's a storytelling thing. The story is going to supersede where you are.
See, I'm afraid of what's going to happen in this match, because I agree, Mark, with what Bully said, that this is just another match. Like, I feel like this is going to be somewhere in the middle of the show, night number one. It's not going to be a lot of fanfare. Now, maybe the match is great where we're like, wow, that was a surprisingly good match because the build wasn't great. I'm sure that's what we're probably going to say after that match between Bianca and Asuka. But I'm afraid of what's going to happen with Asuka here. Because if Bianca retains and Asuka loses, what do you do with Asuka at this point? They have started and stopped with Asuka so much. I don't think they clearly know what her character is. Like, I just feel like Asuka's nearing Nakamura territory here.
Just took it out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Asuka's in a much better position than Nakamura.
But if Asuka loses at WrestleMania, and the way that they really haven't built a story around her, they don't understand her character, I can see her where the hell is Nakamura? Like, where's Nakamura?
Because this is the brutal honesty of the situation. A lot of people might not be happy with this, but this is the way it goes. Nakamura nor Asuka can communicate with the fan base the way the WWE would like them to. And that's why we don't get a lot of them. Mark, are you shaking your head in disgust or because you disagree with me?
Fucking right. It is borderline discrimination. You have got to think better. You go and pay the money to bring these unbelievable talents from all over the world. Regardless of whether it's Japan, Africa, Australia, Canada, Germany, look at Gunther. He's really worked hard to be able to communicate better. He's worked hard because he wants to be able to communicate the way that they would have him communicate. But everybody else is not always that easy, because if you put me in Japan and I had to speak Japanese, bro, I'd be lost. So help me. Give me somebody that can help me. Give me some English. Give me some Japanese classes. Get somebody to speak Japanese with me every day. Hey, Mark, so-and-so is going to call you. Y'all need to talk for an hour or so every day. If you're not doing that, you're being lazy. You are not helping the product.
This is where you got to give credit to a guy like John Cena when the WWE was breaking into the market in China. John Cena learned Mandarin so he could communicate better. Whether that was because he was doing movies in China or I believe it was mostly because he could address the media for the WWE and impress everybody around the world with his aptitude to learn another language. But the reason why we don't get a lot from Asuka and Nakamura is the WWE doesn't have a lot of faith in their ability to communicate the storylines. Who was the performer in NXT who they were bringing up. I don't remember if it was a Japanese girl. It was somebody of Asian descent that all they did was subtitles. And I loved it. I love the fact it might have been EO, or it might have been that other character, who this mystical character, but all they did was subtitles.
Carrie Fane.
Was it Carrie? Okay, it might have been. But I loved reading the subtitles. You know why? Because it was different. Normally, if you got to read subtitles, it's a bit of a pain in the ass. But it was different because I heard this performer communicating in their native language in a way. Like when I hear like a Carrie Sane or a, let's just take Asuka or Nakamura communicating in their native language, right? I can hear the tone and the inflection in the passion in your language. I don't have to understand. I don't have to understand what you're saying, but I feel what you're saying. So I would rather feel what you're saying and read a subtitle than watch you struggle with a language that you don't have a command of. And that's why they don't let them talk. Listen, you're never going to hear bullshit honesty from me. You're never going to hear bullshit negativity from me. You're going to hear the God's honest truth. And that's why those two performers don't talk. That's why we don't get more from them.
And listen, they've given Asuka opportunities. Asuka's a multi-world champion. Asuka's won the Money in the Bank, or she was given the Money in the Bank. But like, this is where like I like what Mark said is help them. Like if you're investing in this talent, then maybe invest a little bit more where language isn't going to be an issue for them. Like look at what they did with Andrade.
Teach them.
Teach them. Or you know what? Do it like you said, Bully. Maybe it's not verbally, but visually. They can tell a story. This is professional wrestling. They can tell a story visually. Or do like what they did with Andrade. Remember with Andrade, they had Zelina Vega with Andrade as like, you know, his manager. And that clicked and that worked for Andrade. Like, I just feel like you brought in great talents like an Asuka, and especially, Bully, a Nakamura. Nakamura was main eventing Wrestle Kingdoms, for crying out loud. Now he's not even on WrestleMania cards anymore, even though he had maybe one of the best WrestleMania matches with AJ Styles a few years ago. Like, he is completely forgotten. You don't even speak the name Nakamura anymore in the WWE.
Why? If you look at his whole...
It's sad.
His whole game. Why do we not see more of Nakamura? Phenomenal entrance,
it's
right?
It's too hard for the writers. It's too hard for them to sit there and to put thought into, like, we just had 10 ideas on this show today. Mm-hmm. Better than all the shit they came up with this entire year and half of last year.
This is former UFC champion Chris Weidman. Do you want to feel what it's like to get in the octagon with me? Right now, we are bringing the hardest-hitting MMA talk on the planet to your podcast feeds with Won't Back Down, a SiriusXM podcast. Every Monday, I'm speaking my mind and taking you inside combat sports like no one else. Every tap, every snap, and whatever else is on my mind. Download Won't Back Down right now on SiriusXM, Stitcher, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast. Won't Back Down.
There is something that I want to talk about with both you guys, and it's something that was kind of dying out even before the lockdown and the pandemic, and that is house shows. Like, there was even talk of doing away with house shows before there was the lockdown. But it seems now across the board, AEW now doing house shows, and over the weekend they had one that, like, from all reports was, you know, amazing. From attendance to just energy in the building. The WWE, Bully, we talked about it last week. Their house shows have been doing very, very well. And I think we've seen the reemergence of independent wrestling too. So Mark, you know, being part of AEW, this is definitely something that AEW is putting a lot of stock into, correct?
Yes. And the thing about live events or house shows, Dave, you learn more in those matches than you do on a TV match because the structure of television is so rigid. But when you go out there and you learn to feel the crowd, you learn to hear them and listen to them, you learn what works and what don't work. You get the chance to try stuff. And some of the best moments that I ever had emotionally in wrestling, where I got to identify with a crowd, happened at house shows. It happened by accident. You see people do it all the time now. But back in the day, I started doing this to the crowd. And then I would shut them down.
Okay.
And then I would do this side. And I would shut them down. And then I'd make it a competition. Like, wait a minute. Oh, this guy. Like, Hulk Hogan did the ear thing. But he never shut them down. And he never, like, I wanted to expand on it. And I did. And now people do it all the time. But that was the first time that I did that. When I came to the back, bro, I felt like I won the lotto. It felt so good to do something that people don't do. And in the house shows, you get to experiment with stuff like that. Man, I had a match with Fit Finley one time, and he told me a joke through the match. And about halfway through the heat, I'm like, so what was, tell me, what happened? I'm like, you got me in suspense. And he's like, hold on a second, hold on, it's not time. And I'm like, son of a bitch, tell me already. Like, we having fun. You get a chance to have fun in the live events. And there's different styles. There's something called walk and talk, where you can walk around and talk to the crowd and and interact with the fans. And you can wrestle a guy and hold on a second. Hold on. And do the handshake thing. And do, like, it's all kind of stuff you could do. Who was it? I'm trying to think who we had the tag match with, where Bully did the handshake thing with me, and then he started dancing, and I was like, son of a bitch. And I started dancing. The crowd went, we didn't talk about that. It wasn't planned. It's walk and talk. And all of these wrestlers that now are getting the opportunity to have house show matches, some of them have never really done it. Because during COVID, it was killed. And then some of these guys are 2 and 3 years in the business, so they really don't understand what that is. The state of wrestling is going to get better now that house shows are in.
Dave, rock and roll bands become great stadium bands because they learned how to work the arenas. Great arena bands become great arena bands because they learned how to work the clubs. I went backwards with that one to show you in wrestling, you become a great TV wrestler wrestling on house shows. House shows is where you hone your craft. House shows is where you do everything that Mark talked about. That's where you try stuff. That's where you don't call everything. You go out there and you listen to the people. House shows is where you learn how to work. There's a big difference between working on a house show and wrestling on TV. Wrestling on TV, we know where everybody's going to be at any given moment because they got to get the shots and the producers, blah, blah, blah. On house shows, if me and Mark were to go out there tomorrow and work a house show, all I want to know is who's going over and how. Mark's going over with the World's Strongest Slam. Okay, fine. That's it. And then me and Mark will go out there and we'll work it out. Actually, I'd probably send Devon out there to do the job and I'd politic my way out of it. But that's a story for another day. But yeah, you know, and then we'd go out there and figure it out. How would we figure it out? We would just listen to the people and we would feed off of the people. I have a lot of respect for certain artists and bands, like a Bruce Springsteen, right? Bruce, a lot of times, doesn't have a set list. He'll go out there and he'll read his crowd, and he knows how to play all his songs, and his band knows how to play all his songs. So if he turns around and calls out some song from, you know, the Ghost of Tom Joad, you know, song 7 on that album, they know how to play it and they're going to play it. It's all about learning how to interact with an audience, read an audience, feel an audience. Because if me and Mark say tackle, drop down, hip toss, arm drag, body slam, cover, 1-2 kick, get it again, and they don't respond to that, well, then where are we going? So house shows benefit wrestlers. House shows are more fun for fans. I think this weekend was a great weekend for the WWE with house shows. It was AEW's first house show weekend, which I heard was a lot of fun. And for the on the independent scene, Battleground Championship Wrestling put on one hell of a sports and entertainment show at the ECW Arena this weekend. Sold out, great show. People had a blast. I listened to almost every match, and whether it was the diehard wrestling matches that we got from like a John Morrison or a Tony Nese, or if it was the more entertaining stuff that we got from a Bully, a Cardona, a Lance Archer, everything was there. So house shows are definitely, if they're making a full-blown comeback, benefit everyone.
Dave, I went and saw B.B. King about 20 years ago. And B.B. worked the shit out of everybody. He came out on the stage, and he was kind of limping. And he was like, guys, I'm getting old. You don't mind if I sit on a stool tonight, do you? I did something to my hip. And everybody kind of laughed, and they brought a stool out, and he sat on the stool. And he's sitting on the stool, Dave, and he's playing the song. And I think it was not Sweet 16, but it was one of his top songs. A lot of the artists start with a hit, like one of their major hits. And he's playing this song, and then he goes into Sweet 16. He plays Sweet 16. And when he hit that first chord and everybody knew that it was Sweet 16, he stood up and kicked that fucking stool and started playing, and the crowd went, wow! It was a spot. He learned how to do that over the years, and he knew how to entertain a crowd. That's pro wrestling. We started that shit. The corny world of pro wrestling has taught Broadway. The term Broadway comes from wrestling. Like, there's things that in entertainment, they have evolved because you had to. And, like, that's what house shows do.
And I think it's coming around because, like, Mark, what you just said with B.B. King, if he had a television appearance, let's just say on The Tonight Show or something, he's not doing that. You know, because he's playing for the camera. So he's just going to play his songs. He's going to play it as good as he possibly can. And that's going to be, and people are going to love it. But you're not so much connecting with the audience that are in the theater that night. You're connecting with the camera and the people are actually sitting at home on their couch watching that show. That's not the case with B.B. King if he's playing at a club and you're in attendance. He's playing for that crowd. It's the same thing with house shows. I've been saying for years, I love house shows much more than Raws or SmackDowns or pay-per-views. To me, the house shows are so much more fun. It's more relaxed, but the tickets cheaper, and the people
and it lasts longer.
Yes.
You know why it lasts longer, Dave?
Why?
Because it feels good. You get gratification. You get acknowledgement from the crowd when your shit works. And I've been in the ring, Dave, at a house show, and they said, hey, 10, 12 minutes. Come on, we get in and get out. We got a long drive tonight. You look up, 16 minutes gone. 18 minutes gone.
Because you're into it.
And because you're feeling it. And then, like, the next match comes, and they go 10 minutes over. And then the next match comes, they go 10 minutes. Next thing you know, it's a 3.5-hour show, and Jack Lanza's screaming bloody murder at everybody. And I know Bullet started, look at him. Look how he started laughing. Because Jack Lanza, oh my God. Jack was like, look, we got a more than 2-hour drive, and I got friends in town. I'm going to listen. I will find the shit out of you.
I got friends in town. I know what that means.
You know, code word. And that's the house show thing is his own monster, Dave. And I'm proud to be a person that really loved the house show thing way more than TV. And I'm happy that all of these young cats and ladies are going to be able to experience what it's like to get reps on house shows.
Dave, one time us and the Hardys were about 20 minutes deep into a match, and I got a rear chin lock on Jeff Hardy, and we happened to be facing the entranceway. And here comes Jack Lanza down the entranceway. And I'm not going to give away the signal, but he's got a look on his face. He looks a little angry. And Jeff says to me, he goes, he looks really mad. And I go, we should go home now. And we went right to the hot tag spot. I went home. And then when we got in the back and in the Jack Lanza way, he's like, boys, that was really good, but you went a little too long. And I got some friends in the next town.
Well, but you know what? Like, just those stories. But here's the thing for me as a fan, and Bully and Mark, you know, I've been talking about this for a very long time, is that there's no commercial breaks. There's no backstage vignettes or promos. It's all about the action in the ring and for everybody that's in the house. And you know it's something special. And I think things are starting to go full circle. For a while, business was down for house shows because I think a lot of fans thought, well, nothing special is going to happen on this house show because it's just a house show. So we're not going to see the championship change hands. We're not going to see significant moments. But I feel now that we've come out of this lockdown that people just want to see wrestling again. And I feel like people know now, hey, when you go to a Raw, especially, I'll just bring up a Raw, it's a long night. And the show's, you know, over 3 hours, and half of that's commercial breaks and backstage. But if I go to a house show, the ticket's a lot cheaper, and it's going to be wall-to-wall action. And it's going to be, I think the key word that both of you said, it's going to be a lot more fun. So it's
good.
You're going
to get your money's worth.
Yes.
You're going to feel like, you know what, man? Like, that was cool as hell. Hell, I had a time, Dave, with Fandango. And we had this match, and Jack Lanza said, hey, guys, we don't have a lot of time. I want y'all to, you know, get in, get out. He's like, look, y'all mind doing like a dance-off? So we go out there with the intent on having this match, and Fandango grabs the microphone. He says, hey, Mark, we can fight every night if you want to. He's like, but I bet your ass you can't beat me in a dance-off. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing a dance-off. I'm kicking your ass. And the crowd is like, no. And we have a dance-off. They play my music. My music sucks for a dance-off. So the next night, we did it again. This time, we played Beat It. Michael Jackson. And I want everybody to go on social media, YouTube or whatever, and pull up Mark Henry versus Fandango in a dance off. I guarantee you will be entertained. That's what the house show does. It gives you your money's worth. And there's no commercial breaks.
Yeah.
There's no, oh, we're going to pause for 2 minutes, 3 minutes and 15 seconds to do this commercial. No. You go there, man, I'm coming out in the crowd. People go out in the crowd, Dave. You get to touch your superstars at the house shows. How many times, Bully, did you bring a kid in the ring from the crowd? Hey, come here, get that kid right there. Bring that kid in here. And then
Mark,
they do like to dance.
I would venture to say that in the WWE, me and D-Von were the first ones to bring the kids in the ring because we would give away a piece of the table, and we would do it every single night. And I'm just saying, like, I don't think anybody else was bringing kids in the ring before me and D-Von. And then obviously later on, Cena used to do it. But yeah, every night we broke that table, and then we would do who wants a piece of the table, brought a kid in the ring, gave the kid the table, held him up high in the air. And it was, and those were those feel good moments that you could not get on television. It just would not happen. And you know, and as a kid, you know, me and Dave going to rock concerts, we would hope that our favorite, you know, guitar player would throw a pick at us. You know, all we wanted to do is catch a pick or catch a foul ball if you go into a game. Me and Devon wanted to recreate that experience, like, hey, maybe my kid will get a piece of the table tonight.
And you know, like, and if you go to see a band, they're talking to the crowd and it's very local centric. They're talking about, they might be calling out certain places that are in your town or in your city. And that happens at house shows, but they're not doing that on Dynamites and Raws and stuff, because you're playing, you want everybody that's watching at home to feel like they're there. You know, when you're doing a house show, it's completely different. It's just a completely different vibe. I know for me, myself, I'm glad that, you know, house shows are back, but that they're not only surviving, but they're thriving right now.
And it's great for wrestling fans. And there's really not much more. And it helps wrestlers. Listen, there was a match this weekend at AEW that didn't exactly tear the house down. It was Britt Baker and Anna Jay. And they went out there. They tried their best. It wasn't a very good match at the AEW house show. Good. Now Anna Jay can sit down with a Mark Henry, a Billy Gunn, a Dean Malenko, and hopefully she asks, what could I have done better? And they can go, okay, you could have done this better. You could have played to the crowd here. You should have executed this move a different way. That's where you learn. Things like this are going to happen. That's why there are errors in baseball. That's why there are penalties in football, you know, all this shit. But it's up to the performer to sit down with the producer and the veterans and ask, how can I get better? When I used to come back through a curtain, Dave, I found a veteran that I respected. And the number one question I would ask, what could I have done better? Don't tell me what I did good. I already know what I did good because the people told me that it was good by the way they reacted. Tell me how I could have had better psychology. Tell me how I could have had a better transition. Teach me how to throw a better punch. That's all I cared about. How can we get better?
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.